Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, he is risen. The word of God which engages us this day is a portion, just the first verse actually, of the lesson that was just read, 1 John 3, verse 1, where John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." Thus far the text. Dear friends in Christ, although I know some of you, I would like to pretend for a moment that I don't know any of you. I have never met you. I have no idea who you are. And so with that premise, if I were to come up to you and ask you the question, "Who are you?" I suspect that most, if not all of you, would respond by simply stating your name to me. But then what if I responded, "Okay, that's your name, but beyond your name, who are you? What is your identity?" After perhaps some frustration, maybe even a little anger with me, some of you might respond with, "I'm a student, I'm a faculty member, I'm a staff member at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis." And in a few months, some of you will be able to respond, "I'm a pastor, I'm a vicar, I'm a deaconess intern." Others of you might respond in terms of relationships you have with other people, saying things such as, "I'm a wife, I'm a husband, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm a daughter, I'm a son." And the list of categories could go on and on and on. Each of us has many different vocations and many different roles in life. But in our text, John tells us that all of us together share one common identity. No matter how many other vocations and roles we have in this life, each one of us could answer the question, "Who are you?" by saying, "I am a child of God." But unfortunately, we also have something else in common with that common identity we have as a child of God, namely that we were not conceived and born a child of God. Not one of us was. In fact, John tells us elsewhere that we were actually conceived and born in the darkness of sin. And what's more, we loved the darkness rather than the light. Each of us was conceived and born in a state of eternal condemnation before God. And if we want someone other than John to weigh in, we can turn to Paul, who in Ephesians 2 tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and that we were by nature children of wrath, conceived and born under the wrath of God, children of wrath, not children of God. And just as a dead person can do nothing to help or improve their condition, so also we, who were spiritually dead, could do absolutely nothing to help or improve our spiritual condition. But the good news is that God has intervened on our behalf. John begins our lesson for today by commanding us to see, in other words, to look at, to behold, to take note of what kind of love the Father has given to us. Now, before we talk about what kind of love that is, it is so very beneficial. It is such a blessing to pause, to stop, and to be reminded that we are loved by God, that you are loved by God. In this world, with its frenzy of daily activity, with all of its disappointments and frustrations, we over time can become worn down, exhausted, spent physically, emotionally, and even spiritually at times. But the good news is that no matter how busy your life is, no matter how many disappointments or frustrations you may have on any given day, no matter what else is going on in your life, you are loved by God. And God will not change that, and no one can take that from you. How well Paul expresses this same truth at the end of Romans chapter 8 when he writes, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You are loved by God, both now and eternally. But what kind of love is this? John, just using that terminology, what kind of love, gives us the idea, gives us the impression that he's going to be talking about something that is extraordinarily wonderful and extraordinarily glorious. And indeed, that love is. For it is that love that moved God to do everything necessary to make you a child of God. You see, with God, love is not merely an emotion or a feeling. It always results in action, activity on his part, on behalf of his people. And so it was that love for the world and that love for you that moved God to send and to offer up that which was most precious in his sight, namely his only begotten Son, with whom he is well pleased. How well John states it in his gospel, in probably the best known Bible passage in all of Scripture, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that love that the Father has for the world and for you is reflected also, is mirrored actually, in the love also that the Son has for you. Jesus himself testified as to how broad and how deep his love is for you when he said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And that's exactly what he did for you. Voluntarily and willingly laid down his life for you, to pay the price not only for the sin-darkened condition in which you were conceived and born, but for every sin of thought, word, and deed that you ever have committed or ever will commit. What kind of love is this? Look no further than the cross, and there you will see the clearest expression of God's love for you. And of course, it was just 2 weeks and a day ago that we gathered together with Christians worldwide in order to celebrate the great news that Christ is no longer among the dead, but is among the living. That death in the tomb could not hold him. And among other things, that is a validation that the price he paid, his blood shed, his life given for your sin, is payment in full. There is nothing more that he has to pay, that you have to pay, or anyone has to pay. For indeed, it is only through the crucified and risen Lord that we have access to the Father in the first place. It's only through the crucified and risen Lord that we can be adopted into the family of God. And it's only through the crucified and risen Lord that we are children of God. What kind of love is this? It's love that through the water and word of holy baptism has made yours everything that Christ earned for you. It's a love that in baptism took us from being children of darkness and sin to children walking in the light of his love. It took us from being children who were condemned to being children whose salvation has eternal salvation has already begun. It took us from being children of wrath to being children of God. What kind of love is this? Perhaps the most incredible aspect of this love is that it is not deserved, is not merited. It is instead God's grace, his undeserved, unmerited love for sinners like you and me on account of Christ. He simply gives us that love as a gift. Remember the way John states it in our text? See what kind of love the Father has given to us. It's not a love that was given based upon something you would or would not do in the future. It's not a love that demands that you measure up to a certain moral standard with your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. No. It is simply given as a gift. You can't fathom it. You certainly cannot explain it. Just know that you are loved and that you are not only called a child of God, but that you are a child of God. That is your identity as you sit here this day. And yet in our lesson, there is also an aspect of the now and the not yet. For John also adds that what we will be has not yet appeared, meaning it has not come yet to full fruition. But don't worry, when it does, it will be marvelous, because he adds that when he, Christ, comes, we will be like him, in that we will be righteous and holy and pure, like him, that we will have glorious new bodies, no longer impacted by the corruption of sin on God's creation, and like him, that we will never die again. All of this because of the kind of love that God has given to you so that you could be called a child of God, and so you are. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in this one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Please stand to sing the canticle.